Hare, Samuel. Kaio, New Zealand. March 7, 1893. Dear Brother Samuel Hare, I am burdened on your account. You have been presented to me as shrouded in the mist and clouds of doubt and unbelief. Many things seem to you to be uncertain. We are living in a period of this earth's history when everything that can be shaken will be shaken, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. You have not escaped the temptations of Satan. You know you once loved the Lord and the truth. Is the truth not truth to you today? It is indeed truth, and you would not give it up, but its clearness is dimmed. You have had the power of darkness to contend with, and the enemy is seeking through his subtle temptations to sift you as wheat. But Christ has not forgotten you. Satan is represented as coming down in great power, knowing that his time is short. He is working with intense activity to confuse the mind and weaken the faith of every soul whom he can possibly reach. He is seeking whom he may devour. My brother, stand fast, be firm, courageous, decided in faith. Be true to God and the interests of your own soul. If you do this, through faith and perseverance and patient hope, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, you will be able to save your own soul, and the Lord will use you as his instrument to save the souls of your wife and children. When your wife shall make decided efforts to withdraw her affections from the love and service of the world, and shall realize the claims of God upon her, she will help you, and you can help each other in the grand, all-essential work of perfecting a Christian character for the future, immortal life. The question is asked by Jesus Christ, who was about to sacrifice his own life for the souls of men. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. The world and its charms are constantly inviting and soliciting the attention of every soul. But you would not be happy if you heeded these attractions. The Lord must be ever kept before the mind's eye, else the temporal things will secure the first place in your affections. Christ warns and invites you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Matthew 6, verse 33, 19-22. What does this word single mean? It means that we are to discern the heavenly, immortal treasures as of inestimable value, above the earthly, temporal, and perishable. We are to see with our spiritual eyesight the great and exalted standard of righteousness. The Lord Jesus has not died to make the law of God of none effect, but to testify to its immutability and to bring in everlasting righteousness, making it possible for all transgressors of God's holy law to be saved. He does not save them when they continue in transgression, but he gives them a second probation. He stands as their substitute and surety. Then through faith, man may make the righteousness of Christ his own, and through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, he may become a partaker of the divine nature. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might doubt the precious assurances and set them aside, ignore them as of little value? No, but be strengthened in the faith, and take these promises and appropriate them to yourselves as the unfailing pledge of God to you that he will be your strong helper. That by these promises ye might, through faith, be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, 4.
The Lord calls upon the wife of Brother Samuel Hare to be converted, soul, body, and spirit, that she may by faith claim grace and power day by day, so that she will not conform in spirit and practice to the world's standard and maxims, but heed the words of the living oracles of God, which are His voice addressing her. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. Having these promises, that you shall become members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King, and heirs with Jesus Christ to the immortal inheritance, the exceeding and eternal weight of glory, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. 1 John 3, verse 1. The world cannot enter into our experience and discern correctly our hopes and the heavenly attraction Jesus is to the impenitent world as a root out of a dry ground. Isaiah 53, verse 2. In Isaiah 53, the inquiry is made, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verses 1 to 4. This is the feeling of the world. The penitent, those who have an eye single to the glory of God, see deeper. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Verses 5, 6. The world cannot discern in Jesus Christ their only hope. They cannot see the motives that prompt to action when the children of the Most High God separate themselves in spirit, in dress, from the world in the pursuit of heavenly things. The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3. Here the eye of faith is directed to God, looking to the unseen, not upon the things that are now apparent. Faith lives in expectation of a future good. It discerns inexpressible advantages in the heavenly gift. The hope of the future life is an essential part of our Christian faith. When we allow the worldly attractions to come in between the soul and God, the world is all we can discern. But brother and sister Hare, look up higher. Fix the eye of faith upon things unseen, and you will become strong in the divine strength. Our faith increases by beholding Jesus, who is the center of all that is attractive and lovely. The more we contemplate the heavenly, the less we see desirable and attractive in the earthly. The more continually we fix the eye of faith on Christ, in whom our hopes of eternal life are centered, the more our faith grows, our hope strengthens, our love becomes more intense and fervent with the clearness of our spiritual insight, and our spiritual intelligence increases. More and more we realize the positive claim of God upon us to purify ourselves from the customs and practices of a world that knows not God, nor Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. The more we behold Christ and talk of His merits and tell of His power, the more fully we shall reflect His image in our own characters, and the less we shall submit our minds and affections to the paralyzing influences of the world. The more our minds dwell upon Jesus, the less will they be enveloped in the fog of doubt, and the more easily shall we lay all our trials, all our burdens, upon the burden-bearer. Men choose to stagger under their own burdens, and they make shipwreck of faith. As thoughtful human agents, we must become doers of the word, and not hearers only. The truth, loved and obeyed, cleanses the soul from all its filthiness and moral defilement. We need to comprehend the lessons of Christ. Over the rent tomb of Joseph the Life-Giver, triumphantly proclaims, "I am the resurrection and the life. Because I live, ye shall live also." John 11, verse 25, 14:19. Let faith pierce through the hellish shadow of Satan and center in Jesus, our High Priest, who hath entered for us within the veil. Whatever clouds overcast the sky, whatever storms surge around the soul, this anchor holds firm, and we may be sure of the victory. With the eye of faith, you may see the land that is afar off. Many have longed to penetrate into the glories of the future world, and to have the secrets of eternal mysteries disclosed to them. But they knock in vain. That which is revealed is for us and for our children. If God's people would earnestly lay hold upon the disclosures already made, and seek not to break through the mystery, solemn and unapproachable, in which God is enshrouded, they would have more peace and hope and courage. The great Revealer hath opened to our intelligence many things that are essential, in order that we may understand the heavenly attractions and have respect to the recompense of the reward. He has laid out in simplicity and clearness the supreme importance of diligent work in making our calling and election sure. We are assured, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." 1 John 3, verse 2, 3. It is plainly stated that this earth is to be purified, and when all things are made new and glorified, the earth is to become the home of the redeemed. Every spot and stain of the curse will be removed, and the earth will be restored to its Edenic purity and loveliness. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Christ thought it not essential for our salvation to describe to us the beauties and glories of heaven as they are. We shall not be capable of doing our work in this life, making personal efforts to save perishing souls, if we remain in darkness by allowing the things of this temporal life to eclipse the glories that are revealed. The unfoldings of Jesus in reference to heavenly things are of a character that only the spiritual mind can appreciate. The imagination may summon its utmost power in order to picture the glories of heaven, but eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. The heavenly intelligences are all around us. Through their ministration, there is brought healing balm for the wounds and bruises of the soul. Heaven is brought near to earth by that mystic ladder, the base of which is planted firmly upon the earth, while the topmost round reaches the throne of the infinite. Angels of heaven descend and ascend this ladder of shining brightness. These angels of light create a heavenly atmosphere about the soul, lifting us toward the unseen and eternal. We cannot behold their forms with our natural sight. Only by the spiritual vision can we discern heavenly things. Our human powers would be extinguished by the inexpressible glory of the angels of light. The spiritual ear alone can distinguish the harmony of heavenly voices. It is not Christ's plan to excite the emotions by brilliant descriptions. In the science of salvation, the Lord Jesus has ordained that none shall live by excitement. He has, with sufficient distinctness, presented Himself, the way, the truth, and the life, as the only means whereby salvation is to be obtained. No more than this is really required. He might bring the human soul to the threshold of heaven, and through the open door show us its inner glory, flooding the heavenly sanctuary and shining out through its portals. But we must behold it by faith, not with the natural eyes. He does not forget that we are His human agents to work the works of God in a world all seared and marred with the curse. It is in this world that is clothed with moral darkness like the pall of death, where darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people, that we are to walk in the light of heaven. Jesus will not consent that minds, through faith in Him capable of possessing immortality, shall be all engrossed with the present, worshippers of mammon. In placing the world first, and heaven and eternal interests second, the human agents meet with eternal loss. Those who enlist under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel must be faithful soldiers of the cross of Christ. We are not to exhaust all our energies in obtaining bread to supply our temporal necessities. Jesus reminds us that He is Himself that bread which came down from heaven. And if man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The claims of the future must not be made subordinate to the affairs of the present.
The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The messenger of the covenant, the Son of righteousness, came to our earth. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Galatians 4, verse 4. Romans 8, verse 3. Hear, O heavens, and be astonished, O earth. The appointed instructor, the divine teacher, has come to our world. He was the majesty of heaven, the King of glory. The deep necessity of the human race called for a remedy for sin, and the eternal Word comes to our world from the bosom of the Father. In Him, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. We were granted a probation in which to become fitted for heaven, and we are to look upon the earth as the trial ground, the school, where we are to be educated and disciplined and trained for the higher life. Do you, my brother, believe the Word of God? You have asked special things of God. You have made your requests known unto Him, and have put His promises to test. But you have failed where He has put you to test. If God should answer your prayers, you would not recognize the answer. The human agent must cooperate with the divine. God has bestowed upon us moral powers and hearts susceptible to the influence of His Spirit, capable of receiving the truth. He has given His only begotten Son to make propitiation for our sins and to reconcile us to God. He has given us the truth to love and practice. He has promised the Holy Spirit to be freely given in His name. Thus He unfolds to us a power and a sufficiency for us individually under every circumstance and trial. With the finest perception, He measures every trial and proportions His grace to every emergency. In the employment of our talents in God's service, we may bless others and may save other souls, giving them words of faith and encouragement to meet and overcome the same trials we have endured. Discouragements find us not alone. A guide is leading us. At every step, we have a friend who has been tempted in all points like as we are. And He is never surprised by the enemy's devices, never baffled by difficulties unexpected and unforeseen. He cannot be overcome by satanic forces. We may go on our way with the consciousness of divine companionship. The Lord Jesus binds no laws upon man to make him miserable. He gives man wise laws which, if obeyed, would make him happy. Your faith is weak, but if you will educate yourselves to look to Jesus, trust in Jesus, believe in Jesus with the whole heart, you will become strong in faith. Jesus loves you, brother and sister Hare, and He wants you to love Him and to make your calling and election sure through educating the mind to trust fully in Jesus as your personal Savior. Encourage a spirit of prayer. We are exhorted to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. What is here meant by perseverance? It is this: if you think the Lord has not heard your prayers, do not become discouraged, but present to Him His promises. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And as you trust fully in God, he will show himself a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. Examine your own selves, whether ye be in the faith of present truth and in the love of God. Look and see if in anything you are deficient in your manifest duty to your Creator. There are many ways in which you may prove yourselves unfaithful. Have you in any way neglected the duty of giving to the Lord His own in tithes and offerings? The Word of God is unmistakable on this point. We have a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." Yet there is with some a manifest neglect of this plain requirement. The sin of covetousness is fearfully denounced in the Scriptures. My brother, please read. And onward. The Word of God is plainly expressed. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, etc. Read the whole chapter carefully and prayerfully, with an understanding heart, and consider from whom all your blessings come.
Our Heavenly Father teaches by His own example of beneficence. God gives us regularly, freely, and abundantly. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Christ Jesus left the royal courts of heaven, and for our sakes became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be rich. Not rich in houses and lands, but rich in heavenly treasure. And every earthly blessing is from His hand. What if the Lord should cease to bestow His gifts upon us? What a cry of wretchedness, suffering, and want would go up from the earth! We need daily the unfailing flow of Jehovah's love and goodness. The Lord calls upon you to do your part if you expect His blessing. You cannot withhold from God and rob Him of His own without laying yourself under a curse. The Lord's treasury must not be allowed to become empty because His people have neglected their duty and withheld from Him His own. There should be no withholding from God. We cannot live to ourselves and be happy. Since all the blessings we enjoy, food, health, clothing, all are from our Lord through Jesus Christ, who gave His own life for us, it is only just that we return to God a portion of what He has given us, the portion He claims as His own. Whatever our position in life, God's claim underlies every other. All we have belongs to Him. He gives us richly of His bounties, and He says, "A portion of this you must return to me. Bring it into the treasury, that I may have meat in my house, that my work in the saving of souls may not be retarded." When God reserves to Himself a portion of that which He gives, it is not that He may be enriched, but for our benefit and blessing. He gives us the opportunity of becoming laborers together with Him by rendering back to Him a portion of His free gift. Thus, our gratitude to God may be expressed by bringing our tithes and offerings into His treasury. This is the ordained plan of God. In doing, the expressed will of God is our only happiness and safety. To withhold from God tithes and gifts and offerings will result, you may think, in increasing your earthly treasure. But what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. Will my brother and sister become faithful stewards of the Lord's goods? Will they cease to rob God in tithes and offerings? Will they, by returning to God His part of their possessions, furnish their portion of meat in the house of God for sacred purposes? This was distinctly understood to be the requirement of God in the patriarchal age, in the Jewish economy, in the apostolic age. Jesus Christ, speaking to Moses from the cloudy pillar, bade him present these words to all Israel. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Similar words are used in regard to the Sabbath. The deep spiritual import is explained,
and the validity of God's claim cannot be ignored without the sure result. A curse will follow the disregard of the Lord's requirements. And the Lord makes a decided promise: "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Malachi 3, verse 10. Will my brother Samuel Hare and his wife now prove the Lord? The blessing of God is that which we all need, and we cannot afford to pursue a course of withholding from God. Cornelius saw in a vision an angel coming unto him, and the angel said, "Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Acts 10, verse 3, 4. We should study economy in our expenditure of means as far as ourselves are concerned, but let us be on the safe side in dealing with our God. Let us not try to save by cutting down the tithes and offerings that are due to God. To withhold from the Lord his own is covetousness and idolatry. He who sent his angel to Cornelius with a message of commendation, testifying to him that his prayers and alms had come up for a memorial before God, will take notice of your free will offerings and your faithful prayers. The two go hand in hand. When Jesus gave his life for a ruined world, he gave it to save you and me. Now, my brother and sister, you are precious in the sight of the Lord. I beseech of you to put away all doubt, all unbelief, and place yourselves in the hands of God as faithful, humble, obedient children. He loves you. He has given his life for you. Talk of his matchless love. Cultivate the art of believing. Learn to express your love to Jesus. Cherish the precious plant of love. Go to God and take him at his word. Act out your faith in the promises left on record for you, and then claim the pledged word of him who will not lie. There needs no learning nor eloquence, but only a humble, contrite heart. Trust in your heavenly Father as a little child trusts its earthly parent, and you will be faithful, active children of God. Through God, you can reach souls that are ready to perish. Cease to talk despondingly. Talk faith. Talk hope. Talk courage. Glorify God by trusting in him. Every Christian may make his path one of brightness, his life a blessing, by diligently using the means that God has provided for him. Let him pray at all times. He cannot always be on his knees, but he can lift up his heart to God in simple, trusting faith, and he will grow like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf will be always green, and his fruit will appear in due season. Be not faithless, but believing. Do not go mourning at every step of your way to Mount Zion. Let the grace of Christ dwell in you richly, and show that you have chosen the royal path of holiness. Unitedly, take hold of the work before you. Seek to help some souls to see the light of truth. This is the service God requires of all who believe the truth. Look away from self to Jesus. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your heart is not hard and unimpressible. You have a tender spirit. I hope and pray that you may not rise up against the message which I bring from the Master. Heaven, precious and glorious, is worth a lifelong, persevering, untiring effort, an effort proportionate to the value of the object of which you are in pursuit. For Christ's sake, learn the art of winning souls. With a true interest in their welfare, converse with your neighbors, present the truth to them. Let them know that you have such an interest for their souls that you have come on purpose to plead with them in the name of the crucified Jesus. This plain statement may be of more value to them than gospel sermons, and may accomplish that which all other agencies have failed to do. It may bring them to a sense of their great need. Sow beside all waters. Be cheerful, be happy, and daily present to God your offerings of praise and thanksgiving. Your own religious life will be improved as the result of such steady, persevering labor. Your faith will be increased, your zeal quickened, and your love intensified. You are laborers together with God to bring souls to Jesus. Although you may not be commissioned to stand in the sacred desk, you can, in meekness, talk the reasons of our faith, and render to God the improvement of such talents as He has given you. You can win souls to Jesus and be the agent, in the hands of God, of changing the whole current of their being, so that it shall flow toward God and heaven. This is a work that the Lord has given us to do, and we shall not be excused in the judgment if we leave it undone. A steady, earnest, persevering cooperation with God, through His grace bestowed, may be rendered powerful in convicting and converting souls. I ask you both to think prayerfully how you can work for Jesus. Oh, how little we individually do for Jesus compared to what we might do if each would place himself in the channel of light.